Daniel Kurtzleben.
Stacey Vanek Smith.
Welcome to The Indicator.
Thank you so much.
And you are joining us all month. You are normally on the wonderful NPR Politics podcast. You are with NPR's Washington desk. And we wanted to bring you on for a very special day here at The Indicator. It's Jobs Day! We are very excitable about Jobs Day around The Indicator.
As well you should be. Jobs Day is great.
And I feel like you should get the... I'm handing you the air horn now.
Yes. Wait, let me try it. Oh,
it feels good.
Yeah. It's a lot of power.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Don't let it go to your head.
So by now, you and all of our listeners may have heard that the unemployment rate in May was 3.8% and that employers added 223,000 jobs last month.
And that is really good. It is the lowest unemployment rate since 2000. So 18 years. That's the best unemployment rate in 18
right.
years. And the 223,000 jobs added, that beat what economists were expecting to happen.
Right. And that's all great to know. And so I feel a little bad about this, but on today's show, we're going to take some air out of the air horn or put a mute on it or a damper or something like that. Because here's the thing. There's a really good chance that employers didn't add 223,000 jobs. I'm Danielle Kurtzleben.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on The Indicator, we talk about why we may be getting Jobs Day all wrong.
Support for The Indicator and the following message come from Wonder Capital, the easiest way to invest in large-scale solar energy projects across the U.S. You can earn up to 7.5% annually while helping finance renewable energy projects at wondercapital.com/indicator. Support also comes from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, whose agents see beyond the next transaction to form long-term relationships. Whether you're ready to buy or sell now or thinking about it for tomorrow, get to know a Berkshire Hathaway Home Services network agent today.
Today's indicator is 115,000. That's the margin of error on the monthly jobs figure.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the whole jobs report, almost sometimes margin of error.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when we say, for example, that employers added 223,000 jobs last month, that's just the central estimate. In fact, a more fully accurate way of putting it is that we are 90% sure that employers added between 108,000 and 338,000 jobs.
So that's the range, somewhere between 108,000 and 338,000
somewhere
jobs.
In that thin range of numbers, yes, is what is the actual number,
223,000-ish
yeah,
so jobs is what we're talking about.
Based on today's jobs report, it is not at all out of the question that in May, say, 300,000 jobs were added.
Which would be amazing.
Yes, or conversely, that only 115,000 jobs were added.
Which would be not that great.
Which would not be great, no. So today we want to understand why there's this wide room for error in the jobs report. And to understand that, you need to understand how the jobs report is created. So in anticipation of Jobs Day, I called up Erica Groshen. She served as the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, or BLS, from 2013 to 2017. That's the agency that puts out the jobs report.
And Erica said she misses the excitement of Jobs Day, that kind of sitting down and just digging into these numbers. She said that it was really fun for her.
You know, you called it fun. It sounds like a labor economist's very particular definition of fun.
Absolutely. I plead guilty to being a data nerd.
Okay, so Danielle, let's get our own data nerds on and
right.
dig into why this margin of error exists in the jobs report. So like we said, there are these two big numbers that everybody looks at every month. There is the unemployment rate, the percentage unemployment rate. This month, that was 3.8%. And there's also the jobs created figure. This month, that was 223,000. And in fact, these two numbers do not come from the same source. They come from two different surveys. The unemployment rate, the percentage, comes from what is called the household survey.
Right. And in that survey, the government contacts, you guessed it, households.
Households.
And asks them a bunch of questions. You know, who in the house is working? Who isn't? Are they working part-time? That sort of thing. And it uses that sample of data to estimate the share of people in the U.S. who don't have a job who are looking for one. That's the unemployment rate.
And for the jobs created figure, the 223,000, there is what is called the establishment survey. And in that, the government contacts businesses and says, how many people did you hire last month? And as you can imagine, the country is big, employers are many, and this is a huge operation.
So for an idea of how big that survey is, a lot of, for example, political polls that you'll hear about, they contact a sample of 1,000 to 1,500 people. Now, this survey, the establishment survey, contacts 150,000 businesses, some of them with multiple locations, each month. And also, it's not just as simple as making a bunch of phone calls to those places either.
The largest employers will be reporting it electronically.
Mm-hmm.
But for the very small employers, you really need to offer a range of different modes because for some of them, the fax is still going to be the easiest.
Fax machines, Stacey.
I know.
Still important to the U.S. economy after all these years.
Of course, the key word to remember here is survey. The government is asking questions of a sample of people and of a sample of businesses in order to get a little snapshot of the full job market, of what's going on in the whole country. And using a sample means that there is just going to be error involved.
Right. So when you're thinking about this 115,000 plus or minus number, it's easy to get wrapped up in the idea that it's just insanely big.
Yes, it is.
That it casts all this doubt on the jobs report. But let me reframe this for you, Stacey.
Okay.
Erica told me that's not the way to think about it.
The thing to realize is what the BLS is actually measuring is what is the total amount of employment, which is about 148 million.
So maybe the margin of error isn't that big. If you think about it this way, it might even be minuscule.
Right. I mean, I guess if you take all the jobs in the whole country, 100,000 plus or minus is not that much of 148 million.
Right. It's kind of stunning that we get even that close if you think about it that way.
Yeah, that's way less than 1%.
But still, we're going to keep checking the jobs report every month and keep caring about that month-to-month change in the number of workers. And by the way, we should add that this margin of error is just one of several ways that that payrolls number can be off. There are also revisions. As of right now, not all of those businesses that the Labor Department reached out to in May have responded to the survey. As more of that data comes in, the Bureau is going to tweak the numbers two more times. And then, the following year, the numbers will be revised again. And so all of this, when I was talking to Erica on the phone, it made me ask this. It felt like a silly question. Should we even care about the payrolls number?
Absolutely. If there were no value in it, then BLS would wait. This represents a compromise, a balance between those two approaches.
So according to Erica, the BLS could wait until the number is perfectly right, but that could take more than a year. Or the BLS could do what it does now, put out a number that's not perfect but is meaningful and gives us a sense of what's going on in the economy right now. And at the same time, let us know exactly what the limitations of that number are.
And we asked Erica if there might be a better indicator that we could look at each month, maybe a little more accurate than the monthly jobs report to get a sense of how the job market's actually doing. And she suggested looking at something called the monthly moving average, which is an average of the last 3 months of jobs reports.
The idea here is that it can give you a clearer sense of when the job market is really improving or really getting worse, but it doesn't include any of those month-to-month blips. And by the way, the average right now is 179,000 for the last 3 months.
That's lowish.
Kind of. It's solid. But still, with a margin of error that is pretty sizable, at least relative to the month-to-month shifts in employment that we have, I did want to ask Erica, since she used to help create these numbers, what she thinks about the monthly freakout over the jobs report. When you were the BLS commissioner, did you ever think to yourself, man, people are getting worked up over this number that really could be within a pretty wide range?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
I think the financial markets have a tendency to overreact to small differences in these numbers. They do.
So you think we're all crazy on Jobs Day a little bit?
Well, I don't think everybody's crazy, but
sure.
I think some people are.
<You know? laughs> A former BLS commissioner wants people to calm it down about the jobs report. I love that.
Take it down a notch.
Yeah. So all of this makes me think that maybe should we tone down the air horn? Is there a more polite air horn? Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, a little more demure.
Yeah.
A little less alarming.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just something to get the attention. Like, excuse me, sir.
If you wouldn't mind.
I have something that might be of interest.